Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Lisa Becton, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Becton.
Thanks for having me.
The Swine Health Information Center, as part of its June e-newsletter, has released its monthly domestic and global swine disease monitoring reports. First of all, what were the highlights domestically?
Domestically, PERS overall, the case positivity has increased significantly since the beginning of 2026, and that always remains a concern. For influenza, they're slightly lower in May compared to April, and while the case positivity is still increased, it remains within normal expected limits. We have seen a decrease in adults or sow population case positivity since early 2016 for influenza, but seen an increase in wean to finish age pigs since February. And lastly, for mycoplasma, there's been an increase during the month of May for wean to harvest, even though it's still below 20%. But in sows, it remains at a case positivity of 10%.
There was a detection of New World screwworm. What's happening on that regard?
New World screwworm was identified in the United States as of June 3rd. There's been a significant state and federal partners preparing for and really ramping up efforts for response. But they've been doing that really since it was first identified in Mexico as of November of 2024. Industry has also supported these efforts really to try to get out information and inform our stakeholders. And for example, SHIC has an updated fact sheet for New World screwworm, as well as webinars and other work with stakeholders to really, again, educate what this pest is, how to identify it, and potentially how to treat it.
You touched on this. Just how prepared has the U.S. swine sector been for this detection, and what were the factors there?
This has been something that has been under observation and monitoring, again, since 2024. Our Texas animal health officials are affected because it's been primarily in Texas, but federal authorities have also been very aggressive in this area, working initially in Mexico with the different methods for the sterile insect technique, but also ensuring that there's different preparedness plans in place, training inspectors to be able to identify the pest, but also instituting different movement restrictions and inspection of animals so the pest does not move around. In addition, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has also ramped up their approvals for different products that can be used to treat New World screwworm. And lastly, a lot of information that's kept up to date can be found at USDA's website, screwworm.org.
What are the prospects for eradication, and what are the factors there?
There has been historical evidence from USDA that New World screwworm can be eradicated from the U.S. This was done primarily in the 1960s for all the U.S., and then there was a very localized outbreak in the Florida Keys in 2016 and 17, which was also eradicated. USDA is employing a lot of different methods, specifically sterile insect technique, which is geared at the release of sterile male flies that breed with the female flies and lay eggs that are not able to hatch. And so there's different methods both to do ground dispersal of flies as well as air dispersal in areas in Texas where the New World screwworm has been identified. But in addition, they are also doing monitoring and surveillance through fly traps. They also are able to tell wild versus released flies by their dye that's been applied. And then increasing observations and surveillance of animals along with movement controls. All of these things are being utilized to reduce the spread, to maintain it, and to remove it in populations as best they can.
What are the recommendations for pork producers?
At this point, it really is important to monitor and observe your animals daily for signs of New World screwworm infestation, such as a wound that does not heal, shaking their heads or biting at wounds or scratching at wounds, but also seeing a wound that may have larvae or eggs near that. So it's very important to be able to identify something that is not normal with your animals. Also, it's important if you do suspect a case to alert your herd veterinarian, and if you don't have one, work with this your state veterinarian to be able to assess on a case-by-case basis.
How can anyone interested get more information on New World screwworm?
Schick has available a New World screwworm fact sheet that is geared specifically for pork producers, and that can be found at swinehealth.org.
The Swine Health Information Center is observing the publication of the 100th edition of the Domestic Swine Disease Monitoring Report. What's the significance of this milestone?
This is important because it shows the expansion and the utilization of these disease monitoring reports as we assess what is happening for emerging disease threats across the U.S. and elsewhere. This report started in 2018 and it emerged just from a diagnostic report to a more expanded near real-time monitoring, which includes analytics, extended communication, and preparedness efforts. But it also provided a standardized format for all of the diagnostic information to be assessed and made relevant to producers and users of this report.
How has the report evolved since its introduction, and what actually has fueled those changes?
A lot of the changes that we've seen over time really are fueled by user input and advisory group that helps to guide different steps and needs associated with monitoring. Our diseases change over time, our diagnostic tests over time, and the reports have adjusted to be able to continue to hone in on the information that is needed from practitioners when they look at their herds. Right now, the report covers PCR results for key pathogens such as PRRS, PED, porcine delta coronavirus, influenza, mycoplasma, E. coli, and PCV2 and 3. There's now 7 labs that are being incorporated into this program, including Kansas State University, South Dakota State, Iowa State University, University of Minnesota, Purdue University, The Ohio State University, and University of Illinois. Again, all of these submissions represent cases that are sent to the diagnostic lab for analysis for potential diseases, and they encompass over 96% of all of the swine diagnostics performed in the U.S.
What has been the response of readers?
This is really one of the most frequently accessed information on the Schick website, and it is used by a variety of different folks. Predominantly, veterinary audiences is the main user as they look at assessing and understanding trends for their herds, but producers, researchers, other allied industry, and even other industry stakeholders have been interested in access this information to understand what's going on in our swine herds.
What have been the highlights globally?
African swine fever is still continuing to be seen in Germany, and there's been warnings of potential increased expansion into the North Rhine-Westphalia region. In Poland, a first outbreak occurred in 2026 of a large commercial herd, and this encompassed more than 21,000 pigs. Foot and mouth disease, SAT1, was identified for the first time in Mongolia, and they have not experienced this virus detection before.
What do developments in Germany and Poland with regards to African swine fever and the identification of foot and mouth disease serotype SAT1 in Mongolia suggest in terms of the level of risk from foreign animal disease for North America? And what do producers in regions free of the infections need to be keeping in mind?
I think it just highlights the fact that foreign animal diseases are still a significant threat, and that's because of a variety of reasons. We know African swine fever remains in wild boars, and the control of those animals remains important to reduce the risk of spread. For other diseases, illegal animal movements have contributed to the spread of diseases. The use of unapproved vaccines, but also vaccines that don't address a particular strain, as is in the case of SAT1, also can help heighten the risk. But the threat is significant and still present, and it's very important to maintain all levels of biosecurity that can address reduction of risk for foreign animal and even other diseases.
Anything to add on the Global Swine Disease Monitoring Report?
This report can be identified in our June Chick Swine newsletter.
How can anyone interested get more information or subscribe to that Domestic and Global Swine Disease Monitoring Report?
You can find that information and more, as well as subscribe to the newsletter at swinehealth.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Lisa Becton, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.